Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring to you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, January 27th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Melody.
And how are you today?
Doing great, thanks.
Super.
Well, all things considered.
All things considered. Well, we'll have to talk about those things considered here later on. But first, gold today. And I think everybody knows why gold is higher. We're going to talk about that right after the market report. But we have gold up $9.40 off the high, though. You're looking at $1,582. Silver was down 4 pennies, $18.17. Platinum was down $21 at $988, and palladium was down $129, almost 6%, $2,373. The USDX today is trading a stronger, up 0.06 at 97.94. Crude oil tanked another buck, 1.23 at 52.96. Paper markets today, while they showed that they were going to be down 400 points early morning trade, they were able to bring them back to about 300. And then about the last hour of trading, they weren't able to hold it. And you have the Dow down 438 points, 28,551. You have the NASDAQ down 175, 9,139. The S&P was down 51 points, 3,243. Both the S&P and the Dow were just, you know, over about 1.58%. The NASDAQ was down about 1.9, almost 2%. 10-year yield, I wonder how low this is going to go, 1.60%, down 0.08. The euro is 110. Japan lost 2%. London lost almost 2.5%. Germany lost almost, well, did lose 2.75%. Go figure. Hong Kong was up. Go figure. No. But I was looking at that, again, my emotion, what emotion is driving the markets. And again, that's 0 to 100. We're looking at 48. So that tanked. Even as of Friday, that was in the 60, 68, 69 level. So that dropped big today.
It's 89 just 1 week ago.
Yes. 2 weeks ago. Well, before I left, it was 90.
Yep.
So high 90s. So how quickly things change. And of course, all the headlines are reading that gold is going to be heading to 2,000, all based on global fear. And the stocks supposedly are tanking because of the coronavirus. And I don't think we've ever had in recent times a true panic globally.
Not since 2003, you know, something similar. I forget the exact numbers, but during the onset of the SARS breakout back then, there was panic trading.
But not to the degree that I think this would entail. Not when our markets are so intertwined. Back then, we didn't have global markets that were synchronized.
No. I think that certainly the potential is for this, if panic continues, particularly if you know, the virus, the coronavirus spreads and the numbers get bleak. With all the computerized trading, high-speed trading, I mean, this is an overreaction, but one that certainly helping gold and silver in the short run. Let's see what happens over the next couple of weeks. I look for a lot of the same uncertainty and fear to continue to drive gold significantly above 1600 over the next couple of months.
Well, I do too. And the funny thing about it is, I mean, gold is poised to go higher regardless of what happens with the coronavirus. I do think, I don't know, it is real interesting. So far, you have 81 lives have been lost in China. 2,800 worldwide. We have billions and billions of people, and there's this huge panic on 2,800 people.
Exactly.
So either they're lying to us, which is what governments do, either this is far worse than they're letting us know. So why would they quarantine 60 million people over the 2,800 is worldwide? You have at least five in the U.S. and Europe. And so you were going to say something?
I suspect Xi Jinping, if not himself, then some of his chief deputies are hearing from foreign companies, particularly the larger multinationals who have a big presence in China, who are now saying, and some have already moved their people out of the country for the time being, that this could have a... I'm sure Xi is concerned that if it's not contained, it could have a really significant impact on the Chinese economy.
Well, it'll have a significant impact on global economy, period.
Oh, sure. As goes the second largest economy, so goes a good chunk of the world, indeed.
So, you know, things are interesting. And, you know, I was listening to CNBC this morning, and they were talking about, of course, the vaccines, and, you know, they're already ready to go and working on and blah, blah, blah. I don't know why. I mean, if they needed a distraction, this is certainly it. But I just can't even imagine quarantining 60 million people.
Well, quarantining, yeah. They're not inside. I mean, you look at pictures, videos of life in China. It's not business as usual by any stretch. There are certainly tens of thousands, if not more, people go outside, and certainly those that are close to Wuhan, the epicenter, are wearing masks. Minimize the likelihood of contracting the virus. There's got to be some degree, if not paranoia, then certainly, you know, heightened worries. I'm sure there are a lot of parents who are saying to their kids, "You're not going to school," and that certainly could have a big impact. And when that trickles down to businesses.
Well, it will, because people aren't going to go out to the restaurants and eat. People aren't going to go out and shop. People aren't going to go out. They are going to stay home. Whether they're quarantined within their city or within their home, why would you go out?
Yeah, and they're not going to travel.
I mean, you're not going to travel. Why would you risk yourself? You're not going to. So all that has major impacts on what the global economy might do. But my question I always ask is, you know, why is this happening now? Why is this? I mean, the world is ripe for a pandemic. We are ripe for it. And to say that one would never happen again is, we will have another one. We just don't know when or if this is the one. So what I find interesting about this is the quick response. We haven't seen anything yet, but you go on a couple of days like this, and all of a sudden it's a whole different ball game when it comes to your finances. It's a whole different ball game when it comes to your investments. It becomes a whole different ball game when it comes to your gold and silver investments. And again, who would expect the table to turn over a pandemic? So,
yeah, more than 1,600 medical staff apparently sent to the Hubei province to assist in containing the virus. Central government previously said it had allocated 1 billion yuan, that's 145 million, to support the province in this outbreak. The community is building a 1,000 bed hospital to treat the infected. It sounds like that's not going to be enough, planning to be operational by the end of the week. And, you know, as you mentioned, Johnson & Johnson is apparently working on a vaccine. But their chief scientific officer said it could take up to a year to bring it to market. So that could be unacceptable for something that seems to be spreading, although it's said to not be either as contagious or as dangerous as other outbreaks in the past. But I'm not sure I'd want to rely on that.
They don't act like that.
They're not
acting like that. And Johnson & Johnson, I hope they're not using any baby powder.
Indeed.
So that's what you can expect from them. I mean, you got to put a lot of faith in them, right? What a crazy. Anyway, I guess some people don't, connect the dots and so forth. But I don't know. We'll wait and see. The incubation, I guess, on this is much longer than what they had anticipated, right, Dave? Isn't it? They thought it was like 4 days, but now who knows?
Yes, it's much longer. At least 14 days. I read a separate report over the weekend that said 17 to 24, but I think the word coming out of the CDC is that it's 14 days. And they've named it the 2019 NCOV. NCOV.
Oh, isn't that nice? They have a name already.
Yeah, how about it?
Well, some other news. You have the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad was struck by rocket fire late yesterday, with at least one hitting a dining facility. It slightly injured one person. There was a little bit of minor building damage. It was a little unclear whether any of the other four rockets launched in the attack landed inside the embassy compound. Security reasons, neither the Iraqi nor American officials or the embassy would discuss locations or other specifics of the attack. There's been no claim of responsibility. The military command of Asab al-Ha, a coalition of armed group with links to Iran that opposes America's presence in Iraq, they denied responsibility. So the Iraqi government moved quickly to condemn the attack. And, of course, there's going to be this real vigorous investigation, Dave.
But of course. I mean, Iraq's Prime Minister Adel Abdulmahdi said, we denounce the continuation of these actions to weaken the Iraqi state and violate its sovereignty and the sanctity of diplomatic mission on its soil. His statement said that Iraqi forces had been ordered to search and investigate to prevent such attacks and to arrest those who launched the rockets. Now, Mahdi's statement, which was released within hours of the attack, appeared aimed to reassure Americans, particularly the American military, the government, that the Iraqis were taking the attack seriously and would be mounting a vigorous response. The comments stand in stark contrast to the response to the attack on a military base in Kirkuk, Iraq, at the end of December. That resulted in the death of an American defense contractor, as well as to the siege of the U.S. Embassy on January 1st.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, and again, Mahdi had reminded the public, which is a little bit divided about whether to have U.S. troops stay in the country, that using force would risk dangerous consequences and repercussions, and of course drag Iraq into a war. So I don't know why we just don't remove our troops. But of course, when you spend billions of dollars on an embassy, and I guess they have oil, we got to keep that oil. We got to keep protecting that oil. But anyway, just something interesting that's happening. And of course, with everything going on, no one's really talking about it. And just another sign of the times. What about
Indeed.
The labor market? What about the labor market, Dave?
Well, back in the States, some new financial economic information out today from the National Association for Business Economics, NABE, we'll call them. There's an even balance in the share of U.S. businesses reporting decreases and increases in their employment. And that share is for the first time in a decade. It's the latest suggestion that the labor market has likely peaked and that job growth could slow this year. The finding of NABE's fourth quarter business conditions survey followed on the heels of a government report this month showing job openings falling by the most in more than 4 years. That was in November. Now, NABE's survey chair, Megan Green, said, for the first time in a decade, there are as many respondents reporting decreases as increases in the employment at their firms than in the previous 3 months. She added, however, this may have been due to difficulty finding workers rather than a pullback in demand. And I'm sure that pullback in demand would serve as a greater concern than just difficulty finding workers, although both have the same effect, essentially, on a given company's output, right?
Did you talk on Friday about the, because this kind of goes hand in hand when we're talking about jobs, about the store closings?
Sure did.
About the 1,200 closures already this year?
Sure did.
Yeah, that's really, and I thought, well, those numbers must be included in last year's numbers. No, ladies and gentlemen, that's a boatload. And there was another, this is a state to state. There's a Bar Louie. Did you ever hear Bar Louie?
Uh-huh.
You did?
I did.
Did you report on that on Friday, too?
I did not.
Oh, boy. Well, they filed for bankruptcy, and they're going to close one-third of its restaurants. And Bar Louie is a hamburger and bar, I guess. It's a restaurant chain known for its cocktails and burgers. They announced that today that it had filed for Chapter 11. It came to an agreement with its lenders to purchase the chain through a bankruptcy sale. Bar Louie said that the restaurants will operate in the normal course of business and expects to emerge from bankruptcy within 90 days. But it's recently shuttered 38 underperforming locations, and they have over 90 locations across the state. So another one's having a difficult time to make ends meet, and it's
not going to be a good year. After 9,200 store closures last year, 9,200, it's amazing.
It is.
Retailers, according to CoreSite Research, expect the closure of more than 100 million square feet of retail space.
Wow.
That's the equivalent of about 562 Walmart supercenters, Melody.
Wow. Hey, we're heading into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And, oh, a ton of things to talk about today. And, of course, we went into the break. We were talking about how the retail is off to a tough start. We were also talking about a little bit about the labor market base has likely peaked. We had the... I just want to finish that up a little bit about the survey that Dave was talking about. The survey was conducted between December 23rd and January 8th. So it reflects the conditions in the fourth quarter and the near-term outlook. And according to the survey, the declines in employment were in the services, goods producing, transportation, utilities, information, and communications industries. And of course, you had the natural gains in employment and finance. Of course, the bankers are the only ones that are making money. So we'll see how it goes. But I think, Dave, with the retail off to that tough start that we talked about, it might be a little difficult to. You might continue to see a decline.
And certainly a potential increase in jobless claims over the coming months. We know that last August, I believe it was, the federal government estimated that the economy created about 500,000 fewer jobs in the 12 months through March of 2019 than previously reported, and that was the biggest downward revision in the level of employment in 10 years, suggesting job growth over that period averaged about 170,000 per month, and that's down 40,000 people monthly. So that therein lies a lot of the concerns that these job market analysts, who together with other news, particularly the retail apocalypse, And the trade war, obviously, that 2020 is not looking good right now.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about the retail stores closing?
No.
We're pretty good on that.
I think so.
See, where are we going to go from here? Briefly, I just, today, I guess it's for all those of you who file taxes, you can start doing so. I guess today begins the tax season, Dave?
It's true. The IRS is officially accepting tax returns as of today.
Isn't that special?
150 million returns. Certainly not today, I believe, this tax season. As we know, you can always ask for a six-month extension if you're not ready. That is until October 15th to file, but you still have to pay what you think you owe by April 15th. Otherwise, you're going to be subjected to penalty and interest when you do pay them. Now, can be tempting to procrastinate. Taxes are not a pleasant thing, especially, you know, if you know you owe money. But if, particularly if you have someone do your taxes, don't wait to the last minute to get all of your information together. They recommend Ed Zollers, who's a CPA in Phoenix, said if you prepare everything early, you'll get your return handled much faster. And the earlier you can get it to your accountant, or tax prepare, the better chance you'll have your return being prepared uneventfully versus the, I'm sorry, you have to file an extension because we just don't have the time to finish it. So good time to get started, even though it's still January and many of us haven't received our W-2s or 1099s as of yet, although technically employers are required to mail those W-2s by January 31st.
Well, again, there's more push on some sort of a digital currency. And now there's more news, MIT, that a digital yuan, Chinese yuan, could allow some countries to avoid the U.S. sanctions and increase the Chinese government's influence. We reported recently that the People's Bank of China is working on a digital yuan and has released very little details about the technology that is behind it or the timeline. So everyone is a little concerned about the potential power that would give the Chinese government. Nea Nerula, yes, that's a person. Director, he's actually the, I'm assuming it's a he, is a director of the Digital Currency Initiative at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, described a simulation that took place in November that involved a number of people. Now, this also included the former Secretary of Treasury Larry Summers and former Secretary of Defense Ash Carter. Now, the participants simulated a White House national security meeting in defense or in response to a major security crisis, Dave.
One of the situations apparently involved North Korea developing a missile that had the capability to reach the mainland U.S. The missile was funded, theoretically or hypothetically, by the digital yuan, allowing North Korea to bypass the global banking system and U.S. sanctions. Nerula said at last week's World Economic Forum, it made it really clear that the development of a digital yuan is a national security concern for the U.S., that is, and other Western countries. She went on to say, financial sanctions are a very important tool to the U.S., and though it might not happen immediately, one must consider the risk of a digital currency issued by another country gaining market share and affecting the U.S.'s ability to engage in financial sanctions. Well, concerns about China's digital currency have been increasing. In November, we know, economist Kenneth Rogoff warned about the risk of a digital yuan being used for, quote, underground activities. Rogoff said a U.S.-regulated digital currency could, in principle, require to be traceable by U.S. authorities.
Well, I mean, isn't it common knowledge that all your cryptocurrencies and digital currencies are used on the dark web? I mean, that's how they pay for things is through cryptos.
If it's not, you're either not a participant or an owner of cryptocurrency, or just haven't been paying attention to that, because it's certainly there for the in plain view, I believe.
So I mean, it's, and that's the part that bothers me. They act like this is, you know, something, but I mean, they're all there doing it. I mean, who knows? Have you ever been to the dark web?
I refuse to answer that on the grounds that
incriminate
me. I don't know. What are you talking about? The dark web?
Oh, I find it fascinating.
Yes, I've queried the dark web, and you can get lost in there. But I've just been on there one time, and don't expect to be back anytime soon.
That's what I would like to try just once, just to see what you see, and you know. But anyway, I had the how to get in there, but I lost it somewhere. So with all my other passwords.
Yeah.
But so let's get back to North Korea. If they were to use it to hire Russian nuclear scientists or Iran were to use it to finance terrorist activity, of course they would run that high risk of being caught. Rogoff added, if, however, the digital currency were run out of China, the U.S. would have far fewer levers to pull. And Western regulators could ultimately ban the use of China's digital currency. So, I mean, that is an important part. If they did create something like that, you know, they could do business with these other countries. But it is kind of interesting. Technology is on the verge of disrupting America's ability to leverage faith in its currency to pursue its broader national interests. Interesting.
Well, and we know, too, Melody, there have been some calls for a digital U.S. dollar. Christopher Giancarlo, who's the former chair of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, he apparently spoke on the sidelines at Davos about the need for the U.S. to issue a digital currency. Now, I suspect in the short run that's going to go nowhere real fast. But the fact that former federal government officials like Giancarlo are talking about it, it does give you the sense that, you know, or at least the concern that there could be some momentum for even just conceptual thinking about it. I mean, experts have raised other concerns about the digital one, about digital currency in general, including the lack of privacy it's likely to have. And they say that's because having a fully digital currency gives the person who's in charge of it a lot more power. One tech guy said China needs this power to continue its control over its people. Privacy will be weak. Government will have the ability to know about every transaction. Perhaps more importantly, it could also be an initial step to let its currency float. We know there are multiple currencies in China. They have a trade currency and a mainland currency, which many believe they can't sustain that multi-currency approach. So we'll see what happens. I suspect that there are just a few. I don't know who knows what their intentions are, if they're good or otherwise. But boy, I just hope there's going to be a lot of public discussion about this before there's any serious proposals, particularly for a U.S. currency, U.S. digital currency, Melody.
Well, we do know that in the near future, we don't know when, but in the near future, there will be some sort of a financial reset, and they will have to usher in a new monetary system, policy, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it will be probably a digital-type currency.
Digital gold?
No. I don't think it'll be digital gold, but I think the U.S. will have to do a digital currency or whatever. But my point that I'm trying to make is, get to the point, Melody, is that everything has to reset first.
Mm-hmm.
So you have people going out there, well, I'm going to go out and buy, you know, cryptos now because that's where we're going and blah, blah, blah. No, ladies and gentlemen, everything's going to have to be reset. And then, and we're talking a new currency in the future. I don't think the U.S. dollar is going to go away immediately. You are going to see adjustments, changes, a basket of currencies for trade, just like China has two currencies, one domestically, one for trade. I think you're going to see that happen everywhere. That doesn't mean the U.S. dollar might not maintain some part of its reserve currency, but I also believe that the basket of currencies will also have gold to stabilize the currencies, so that everybody's on a even keel, so to speak, since you can't trust governments and you know, and their ability to manipulate the currencies to help their trade. So that will have to be fixed. What we do domestically, no one knows, because we've never been down this road before, not to the degree of where we're positioned. So, but I mean, we all know we're heading into a cashless society. We know that they're pushing for the, you know, we see them all. I mean, we Corbett talked about transhumanism. I mean, you think they're going to be dealing in cash? Highly unlikely. But so, I mean, that's the future. But I also believe before that future comes, they have to eliminate this future or our future, our currency. But anyway, something we don't hear about or talk a lot about is Africa. But there is a lot of investment conferences that are lined up for African nations in 2020. Leaders across the continent, they're optimistic about the continent's fertility for international investors. There's still significant barriers to entry, and of course there's also the political risk that still remains. And some of the barriers include, you know, sluggish economic growth in major economies, competition among overseas investors. We certainly have seen China move heavily into Africa, as the U.S. taking positions, you know, because they want to go in there and strip Africa or whatever they have and be the main trade partner. So it's interesting to see, Dave, how or the interests continue to grow in Africa. The annual research from Business Risk, they identified key risks facing the continent in 2020 and the countries which are our best and worst positioned to mitigate them. The best three, the XXX Africa report said Mozambique will leverage massive foreign investment flows in natural gas. What are some of the other ones, Dave?
South Africa, their president, Cyril Ramaphosa, is facing public backlash for a slowing economy and other reforms that aren't getting done. As a result, this EXX Africa group, they believe the administration will ramp up efforts to overhaul the South African power sector and to try and restore economic stability. Africa's most industrialized economy. They've faced weak and weakening economic indicators, debt that's apparently growing out of sight, and potential credit rating downgrades that's just going to make future borrowing all that more expensive. Now, there's also Egypt, which has enjoyed 3 years of economic stabilization after a very volatile few years. There are a couple of bad ones, too, that we can get to when we're back from this break.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. Right now, gold in the New York spot price aftermarket, it's up a little bit stronger, up 10 at 1582.70. 1582.70, up $10. So, not bad, not bad. That market closes in 20 minutes or so, but and again, I think most of that, it's hard, Dave, when you have something like the coronavirus, and we know the true status of our economy. And when we talk about the various weak spots of the economy, we talk about a fiat currency, we talk about inflation, we talk about, you know, the real, you know, wages are okay, let the financial world rejoice as their little wage increases or wage growth has increased a little bit, but yet they never talk about other things that are also rising that far surpasses what the wages are doing. We have financial problems in this world. So my question is, was the market down 400 points due to financial problems? Or was it truly the coronavirus?
Yes.
Hong Kong was up. So...
Yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
Okay. I think there's such a fundamental, fragile foundation in the world economies that we will come to see that events such as the coronavirus, it could be any number of seemingly random events or issues out there, that could cause, you know, the stock markets, for example, to crash. I mean, 400 point, you know, 2% drop on. I thought I was going to figure out what 3,000 cases of the virus out of how many billions of people there are in the world, what that amounts to as a percent. And it, again, it's one of the, I think, not fragile, I can't think of the word, we'll just say dangerous aspects of the U.S. financial markets, I believe, are the high-speed computerized algorithmic training programs that are on these big corporations, pension funds, and other traders' platforms that cause such an overreaction, both on the down and on the again on the up, but mainly on the down. And it bothers me more now because as more and more of traditional paper market investors are getting into to precious metals, particularly through the ETF markets, that those algorithmic programs could do the end up doing the same thing to gold and silver. And the SEC, I don't know that it'll ever happen because of the incestuous relationship there is between industry and government, but if if there's one big thing that needs to occur soon, it's some kind of, if not the actual prohibition of that, then some better form of control to reduce the impact on everyday Americans. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And, you know, with the impact of coronavirus, what it does have, you know, what a little impact that it does have, you know, here you have San Francisco. You know, I was talking to someone, I was saying, yeah, I mean, the world is primed for a pandemic. Doesn't matter how little it might seem, because you look to San Francisco, you got people, look how dirty the world is. You got people pooping on the streets. And now San Francisco activates emergency operations to ensure public safety. Now, that's not going to create some sort of a fear. I mean,
did they just announce that for the coronavirus?
Yes.
Oh,
Yeah. So that's what they're. So you have other cities that are going to be doing that. Now, California's had two cases. So I'm thinking, what are people? There's two cases in California. They're reacting more to this than when Ebola came to this country. Remember the people that came into the country that had Ebola?
Sure.
Eboli, whatever you want to call it.
Sure, Ebola.
And they didn't have any of these responses. That is far more serious than the flu. So it's, I don't know. It's
well,
weird.
It does seem like an official overreaction. I mean, on the one hand, you know, it's great to be prepared, and obviously to, you know, just a day-to-day business practice, whether it's in the private sector or in government, particularly in bigger cities, that, you know, being proactive against a number of potential threats is a good thing. But, you know, sometimes I worry that, you know, I forget how long ago it was. It was after 9/11 that the Pentagon and a number of other federal and state agencies came up with this National Incident Management System, NIMS, that probably every large city in the country operates under. And small and a lot of small and medium-sized towns probably do now too. And it just officializes preparation, or usually responses to some kind of public emergency, driven on the one hand initially by police or by the military perspective of some police departments. That's not a criticism, it's just an explanation. But, you know, it seems that it could be placing premature burden on workers, and especially on a community. Again, you know, a statement saying, hey, be aware, be safe, wash your hands, don't travel to China or, you know, that part of Asia. But geez.
Well,
I guess the devil's in the details, but
yeah. Well, the State Department had announced yesterday that they were going to evacuate staff and some private citizens from Wuhan and bring them back to San Francisco tomorrow. So maybe that's why they enacted that. But
well,
they changed the but they changed the plan. Now, the U.S. diplomats and civilians are now expected to go to Anchorage.
Oh.
And then to
remote.
Ontario. And then to Ontario, yeah. He also said that all flights out of Wuhan to San Francisco have been canceled.
Yeah, that's smart. Those are smart decisions.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's... So I just thought that was interesting. And there was one more, and I guess the U.S. government the USA warns against China travel. Well, no kidding, Sherlock.
Yeah,
I want to go visit Wuhan.
Oh gosh, I hope you got trip insurance.
Yeah, life insurance. But anyway, so that was just some updates on that just came through that I thought was kind of
fascinating,
kind of interesting. So something we talk a lot about here is corporate debt. Keeps everyone's belief that the economy is strong. And we've reported, we have corporations, they continue to buy back their own shares, is what Dave was saying, until using borrowed cash to reduce the number of shares on the market, and they boost the value, then they go and sell theirs. But tell us what the official corporate debt now, what, stands at over $10 trillion, Dave? And that doesn't include the derivatives exposure. No one talks about derivatives anymore.
The derivatives, I mean, that pale, the $10 trillion will pale in comparison. But talk about the Bank for International Settlements, the central bank for central banks, essentially. The amount of derivatives still held by corporations stands at over $540 trillion in notational value and face value, while the current market value of those derivatives is only $10 trillion. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a massive discrepancy that can only lead to disaster. Now, it's no surprise that the Fed fueled this bubble, and now there could be no stopping its demise, although their behavior and minimal response to this corporate debt problem suggests they don't have any intention of stopping it if they ever did. Now, we're reading that stock buybacks are set to further decline this year after 2018 and 19. And the declines primarily as the windfall from the 2017 corporate tax cuts wanes. Plus, they have to quit because the amount of debt they're accumulating is now outpacing their profits. And everything we're reading in the last week is suggesting that come the next round of earnings reports, we're going to find that, in the third quarter of 2018, aggregate corporate profits peaked, and they've been in decline since. Although some would suggest that the third quarter of 2019 was decent, but a lot of analysts expect them to be significantly reduced this year.
Well, everybody points to the 2017 tax cuts, and it did do corporations well. Doesn't seem to help the middle-class guy, but it did help the corporations, and the companies did what they were expected to do. They poured a lot of their money into the stock buybacks instead of research and development and new jobs, and that is exactly what happened. So now you have corporations and the Fed. They put a lot of effort in keeping the stock market going higher. But in the meantime, we see global imports and exports are falling. The U.S. manufacturing is in recession territory. U.S. GDP is in decline. U.S. retail outlets, it's closing by thousands. The poverty rate has jumped 30% of U.S. counties in the past year. You have high-paying jobs are disappearing. And then it's being replaced with the minimum wage that they pushed through in these service sector jobs. So how good of economy can we have with those things that are happening, Dave?
Well, it's the question. In the amount of time the tax cuts and debt increase bought was probably just a couple of years. If that's it. With the buybacks in decline, the question is, what will keep the bubble afloat in the future? The Fed? The Congress? Well, here are some debt levels of some of the more visible corporations that I believe are telling. AT&T is $180 billion. SoftBank, $154. Apple, who has a ton of cash, nevertheless has $136 billion in debt. Verizon, $114. Comcast, $112. And so on and so on. And the list doesn't include financial companies like J.P. Morgan Chase and other banks that are suspected of harboring an extensive debt load and borrowing cash through the Fed's trumped up overnight repo markets. Then on the other end of the balance sheet, the level of cash reserves held by many corporations suggests they sense something is on the horizon. Otherwise, why are they holding such high piles of cash when the stock market appears a sure thing? Unless the debt bubble's about to collapse and cash is going to be needed to absorb the damage. Melody?
Well, we're just about out of time right now, but certainly, again, this all comes back to our monetary policy and so many things, so many ifs, so many cracks, and all you can do is prepare before something happens, something comes from left field that we're not anticipating, and it just throws the whole world upside down. But we're here for you. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Melody.
And we'll be back tomorrow. So be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.